Hi, listeners. We are continuing on the messages of building up the body of Christ and bringing them into the maturity of Christ and equipping them for the works of service. In this message, we are going to look into the subject of God's grace. Now, grace comes from God. It's an attribute of God, it's a quality of God that God wants us to come into a place of revelation. What grace is, having a good understanding of grace, and then to be able to depend on His grace. So we are not trying things in our own strength, but the strength that comes from the Lord. Now, grace is defined as unmerited favor. It is unmerited favor because God's grace was given to us, not because of our works, because of what Jesus did on the cross. As a result, He grants us His grace. We didn't work for it. It is completely unmerited. It is a gift. It comes as a result of His goodness, His love, and His mercy, and His kindness. He is willing to grant us His grace. Now, God's grace is not only just favor. Favor is one aspect of His grace. But there are other aspects that are also included in His grace. One is His power, another His ability, another will be His strength, another will be His wisdom, His guidance, His protection. Whatever we need to live our lives on this earth victoriously and run our race and complete our work on this earth, we have the grace of God given to us to accomplish it. That's what the grace is for. The grace is for us to live our lives on earth the way God wants us to live our lives, as more than conquerors, victorious people, to overcome every obstacle, every challenge in life, and to be victorious, to be people of joy and peace, regardless of the situations that we may face. We have the grace of God to help us. Grace of God is to help us in whatever situation we are in. We can always lean on His grace. We can always depend on His grace. Everything we receive from God comes by grace, and we receive it through faith. In Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." The scripture is saying, we come to know God by grace. Our salvation was given to us by grace, and we received it through faith. That's how we got saved. We received the salvation that was given to us by God because of His goodness and His mercy and His love. He granted us His grace, and we received the free gift of eternal life through faith. Now, this is the way we are going to live the rest of our lives. Whatever we need from God on a day-to-day basis, on any situation, we can receive His grace through faith. As we believe His word and His promises, we can receive whatever we need for that moment. Let's say you are going through a situation. You need wisdom from God. This comes through in the way of grace, and you have to receive it through faith. So you believe for the wisdom of God, and His grace will grant you the wisdom to carry you through that trial, and that you will stand firm and strong in your faith. It comes through the way of grace, and you receive it through faith. You believe His word. So God wants the believers to come to a place of understanding what grace is, and then to depend on His grace on a day-to-day basis to live their lives on earth. Because God is not asking us to do this on our own strength. And when we ask for the grace, the Holy Spirit is living in us to grant us the grace. The Holy Spirit is right there to give us that grace. As we go into the scriptures, let's go and look at some scriptures that speaks of God's grace. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." This is talking about Jesus. and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the one who brought grace. It is his grace, his favor, his strength, his power, his ability. Whatever else we might need, we receive it through grace. He has come to bring grace, and he came to show us what grace is like. So we beheld his glory, which was full of grace and truth. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. When you read the epistles, Paul and Peter both use the word grace and peace as a greeting to greet the body of Christ. Now, all scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So these are not just words of greeting that Paul and Peter are using. Their words are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Over and over in the epistles that are written by Paul and Peter, they always mention the word grace at the beginning of their letters, and also Paul will always use it at the end of his letter. Now, when the Holy Spirit uses a word over and over and over, there's a reason for it. He's trying to emphasize something to the body of Christ. It's not just a greeting or a way to end the letters. God wants the body of Christ to come into a place of understanding his grace. When we understand his grace, we will come to the place of depending on his grace. His grace is imparted to us through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So whenever we need grace, we just pray and the Holy Spirit just imparts that grace to us. Whatever that we need in that moment. If you need strength, grace of God will provide you the strength. If you need wisdom, grace of God will provide you the wisdom. If you need power, the Holy Spirit will release that power. You need his ability to accomplish a task that you cannot do it yourself, the Holy Spirit will release that ability for you to get it done. That's his grace. And so you can live an overcoming life. Now, in 2 Peter 1:2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Just think about it. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. More of the knowledge we have of God through studying the word and meditating and walking in the truth, grace and peace will be multiplied to us. So your life is going to be full of grace and peace. Remember in John 1:14, he says, we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. The more we grow in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will begin to understand what that grace is and be able to walk in it on a daily basis. Depend and lean on it. That's the reason the scripture says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now, why do we need grace and peace? So we can be overcomers. So we can accomplish everything that he's giving us to accomplish. So we can walk through these hard times, dark places, hard places, trials, situations, challenges, those problems that sometimes seem like a mountain. Yet, as we depend on his grace that is given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk as overcomers, because Holy Spirit will always release that grace into our lives so we can be the overcomers. So we can walk as more than conquerors. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is instructing us to grow in the grace. That means we can grow in the area of God's grace. Jesus is full of grace. In that case, we can grow as we understand what grace is, as we receive the revelation of what grace is and what grace can do for us in our lives. The more we grow in the knowledge of him, the more we will understand what grace is, so we can walk in that grace. So we don't have to be struggling in our Christian walk. But we can be full of grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants us to be. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to us. The peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard our hearts and the mind through Christ Jesus. When we understand what grace is, when we ask God for the grace, he gives us the grace so we can overcome whatever that comes against us. We will receive the help that we need. And as we do, that peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our mind through Christ Jesus, because we are not going to be anxious or be fearful. God says, ask and you shall receive. When we ask for the grace, he's going to give us a grace. He will never hold it back from us. He wants his grace to be multiplied. He wants his peace to be multiplied in our lives. He wants to be a people of grace and peace. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back and read the verse 4 again. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Jesus was full of grace and truth, and when we invite him into our lives, he brings us that grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He gave us his grace, his unmerited favor, his strength, his ability, his power. He does it because of his great goodness and his mercy and his kindness. That's the reason he does that. He grants us his grace. He paid the price to redeem us. So now he gives us his grace so that we can be everything that he has created us for us to be. Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. See, this is part of the grace. We have received the grace of God through Jesus, and as a result, in everything we are enriched. The enrichment comes through the grace of God. Whatever enrichment you need in your life, whatever area you need enrichment, you can ask for the grace. And grace will provide you that enrichment you need. If it's wisdom, he will give you wisdom. If it's strength, he will give you strength. If it's knowledge, he will give you knowledge. Whatever giftings you need to accomplish his work, he will give you that. Why? It comes by the way of grace. Grace is the modem. Verse 7 it says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those gifts God gives us to accomplish his work comes by the way of his grace released into our lives through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. Now, let's go to 1 Peter 5, starting from 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Let's read this again. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. See, that's what grace will do. When God's people go through different situations and sufferings, hardships and trials, challenges, after you have gone through that, and his grace will give you the strength to go through that, to walk through that. But then he will bring you to a place of perfection and strengthen and settle you. That's what his grace will accomplish. So whenever a person is going through a situation, they don't have to be hopeless. When a believer walks through difficulties and trials and hardships, as believers, we do not have to be fearful or anxious or hopeless, because the grace will accomplish what God wants to accomplish, and the grace will give you the strength, and through his grace you can receive the strength and the ability and the power to stand firm through that trial. So at the end, you will receive what his word promises. You'll be established, strengthened, and perfected in your faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. Paul is writing, starting from verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul is saying that because of the revelations that was given to him, and to keep him from pride, the Lord assigned him a messenger of Satan. This was a demonic spirit, a thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh was not a sickness or disease. It was a messenger of Satan. And this messenger of Satan caused him trouble everywhere he went. He caused him persecution everywhere he went. A lot of people think when he says the thorn in the flesh that it is for some kind of a sickness or disease. Thorn in the flesh doesn't have to be a sickness and disease. And because it's very clear, the thorn in the flesh was not sickness or disease. As you continue on this reading the scriptures, it's very clear what it was persecutions and hardships that he had to face because of this messenger of Satan that was signed to buffet him. This messenger of Satan just to harass him or to cause harassment wherever he went. Let's read verse 7 again. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He asked the Lord three times that the messenger of Satan will be removed from his life. Verse 9. And he said to me, God said to him, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. So what is God saying? He's saying, I have given you my grace, and it is sufficient for you to walk through this. I will give you the strength, the ability to walk through. That's what God is saying. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you to walk through this. Are you walking through a hard place, a trial, a hardship, a heartache? You have lost a loved one? Or you are going through a situation that you don't see any end to it or any answer to it? It's a dark place. God is saying, My grace is sufficient. Lean on the grace because it is sufficient. His strength is sufficient for you to walk through it. His power is sufficient for to carry you through it. His ability is sufficient to carry you through that. You are not walking through that by yourself. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and he's saying depend on the grace and ask for that grace and the Holy Spirit to release that grace because he is the Spirit of grace. So depend on the grace. And that's what God was saying to Paul. He says, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. See, his strength, that is part of his grace, is made perfect in weaknesses. When we do not have the ability to accomplish or go through whatever that we are walking through, his strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. If we were strong and we can do everything by ourselves in our own strength, then we don't need his grace. The reason we need grace is we cannot do it by ourselves. So when you get to a place that you know it's completely impossible unless God comes through for you, it's completely out of your control, you can just release it by faith, whatever the situation, into God's hands and ask for the grace. In that moment, Holy Spirit will release that grace, and whatever you need in that moment, you will receive it to walk through it, and at the end, you will receive your victory. Your eyes are on the end goal, which is your victory. And grace will carry you through that situation until it brings you into victory. Going back to verse 9, it says, For my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. The word infirmity means weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had a revelation of what grace is. He said, I will rather glory in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ rests upon me. So we see that one aspect of grace is strength, because God said, My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Then Paul said, I will glory in weaknesses or infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So another aspect of grace is his power, God's power. Verse 10, Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities or weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Did you hear what he said? He said, therefore I take pleasure in the hard places that I have to walk through. Weaknesses, persecutions, distresses, and necessities, reproaches, whatever else that we may have to walk through in this life. He said, I will take pleasure in those situations. Because he had a revelation what grace will do, what grace will accomplish in his life. Because he said, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because of the grace of God that is released as he depended on the grace of God, which gave him the strength and the power and the ability and whatever else he needed to be strong through that hardship, through the things that he had to walk through. This is a good example for each one of us. God has not left us alone. He has come to live in us through the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit and we have his grace. So whenever we are going through situations, we don't have to be despondent, hopeless or fearful, because we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and his grace is always readily available to us to give us that strength and the power and the ability to walk through until he brings us into victory. Let's go to Romans 8:37. Says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. All these things, we are more than conquerors. We can go through things and situations in life as we depend on the Holy Spirit and ask for the grace. His grace is sufficient to carry us through any situation. His grace is sufficient. According to 1 Peter 3:18, it says that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be able to depend more and more on the grace of God, which is sufficient for any situation that we have to walk through. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. He has given us his grace through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And we can always ask for that grace. And the Holy Spirit will release that grace into our lives so we can walk in it. And we can fulfill our calling, our destiny, and run our race to the end and be victorious and finish our race in victory. And this is what God is calling the body of Christ to come into. A place of understanding his grace, which is granted to us because of his great love, his kindness, his mercy. We didn't work for it. It is given to us. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given to us. So as God calls us to be people of being set apart and consecrated, we can walk that walk as we depend on his grace to give us the strength and the power and the ability to fulfill whatever he desires in our lives. Again, going back to 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The way we can receive the abundance of grace and peace is through knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we grow in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, we will also grow in grace and peace of God. How do we grow in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ? Through the Word, studying and getting to know him through his Word and walking in the Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit to release the revelation of Jesus in a greater realm, in a greater degrees, so that we can know him better. We can know the Father better. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. As we read the Word and study the Word and meditate the Word, he releases the understanding so we can know God better. The more we know God better, the more we know our Lord Jesus Christ better, we will begin to understand his grace, what his grace is like, and what that grace can do for us. So we can depend on it. So we can ask for it. So we can walk in it and be victorious.